Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Steve, we need you to do some analysis on, I don't know if you saw this, the Titans just signed a guy named Adam Kuhn, who never played college football. He was a 3-time NCAA All-American wrestler at Michigan. He's competing at offensive line. What do we know? I expect some information by the end of tomorrow there, Steve, on this guy. What do you got?
We grade every player on every play, but not every wrestler in every match.
That's true.
But my only analysis is that he should be playing offensive line, so at least
right.
I got that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you should now go back and watch all his wrestling matches and somehow translate that to how well he can play the offensive line. It's a cool story,
though.
Those
strengths and weaknesses. Look, I think those are always fascinating strategies. Like, if you could steal a free player, so to speak, why not give it a shot?
Absolutely. Steve Palazzolo with us from Pro Football Focus. Steve, all right, let's get to – we actually had Bruce Gradkowski on with us earlier in the week, and he mentioned you as part of his you know, top – when he ranked the 32 quarterbacks list. He had Baker number 10 on the list. Dustin and I both agreed with him, except he had Matt Ryan 9 and Matt Stafford 11. Dustin and I felt those two should flip-flop with Baker staying in the middle. What did you think of Bruce's list in the end?
I thought it was fine. I did have my hand in it a little bit. We tried to grab a few different people at PFF to put it together, so I don't agree with every last thing. I mean,
sure.
First off, when I rank, I like tiering it anyway.
Sure.
So when you, because of that reason, I think, you know, Matt Ryan here and Matt Stafford there, it's like, you know, you put quarterbacks into tiers, and then, you know, those things tend to – the actual ranking will fluctuate a little bit. I think Matt Ryan is a little underrated, and I know when you look at his splits compared to with Julio Jones or without Julio Jones, it's pretty distinct. But Matt Ryan has been so consistent throughout much of his career, and Stafford, just using PFF terms, has never graded above 82 in our system, or maybe it was 84. And Matt Ryan's done that 5 or 6 times, you know.
Wow.
So Matt Stafford always feels like this guy to me – like a souped-up Jay Cutler. He's better than Jay Cutler, but every year it's like, well, Cutler's got the arm, and he could do all these great things, but he never actually did it on the field. Stafford is a better version of that. He's got this great arm. He does it on the field, but it's only like a handful of games every year, and he always leaves a little bit on the table. So I kind of like Stafford in that 11 to 15 range when you talk about ranking quarterbacks.
So you consider Baker in Tier 2 then?
I use those tiers almost as like a descriptor than anything versus like where they rank. I don't think there's a ton of what I consider tier one or two quarterbacks. And those are the guys that are almost, you know, situation agnostic, so to speak, right? You put them with a bad receiving core and they still probably produce and they can overcome a bad offensive line. I think we're leaving a point in NFL history where there was probably 10 of those guys. And now I think there might be 5 or 6, and I think it's tough to define who those guys are beyond Mahomes and Russell Wilson, and then you figure out what you want to do with Brady and Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, right? So I think Baker's probably a tier 3 quarterback. I think most of the league is that, and then there's high tier 3 and low tier 3. So I think the tier 3 guy is the guy that, you know, put everything around him, will have a really nice season. But I think that describes Baker pretty well, especially given the way he's played in his first 3 years.
You know, we had Warren Sharp on too yesterday, and he put out a tweet that says the Browns have the highest paid offense in the entire league at $141 million. I say to that, man, like, there's no excuses for Baker. You talk about a quarterback needing pieces around him. They're putting the kitchen sink around this kid, aren't they?
They absolutely are. And, you know, Stefanski does a really nice job, and, you know, the system and everything. So, yeah, he's set up for success. You know, could and again, using the tier stuff, Dak Prescott, I feel like I think he's developed. He went from solid to, okay, I feel like I could trust Dak a little bit more. I think Baker's right on the cusp. Right on the cusp, you know, of just being that guy. And I just want to see it again this year. And he can be that guy that you trust. But, yeah, he's in a great situation. He's got our top offensive line. Our rankings are going to come out next week. The Browns will be ranked number one. A good group of playmakers. Good play calling. And they've done a lot, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball as well. So, yeah, the Browns they're looking strong from a roster standpoint. They've done a really nice job building around Baker Mayfield.
I want to go back to, you know, you referenced Julio Jones in terms of Matt Ryan. See, really interesting with Julio Jones, he had 18 touchdowns in his first 2 years in the league, and he's only had 42 touchdowns since then. You know, in essentially, I mean, it's been 9 years, but there were 2 years when he played part of a season, so it's really been more like, it's been 8 years, but it's been really more like seven. But what do you make of the fact he's such a good receiver? You know, Matt Ryan's received a lot of the blame for him not having more touchdowns. Who do you blame for that? Or is it overblown?
I think it's slightly overblown. One of those things I think, you know, fantasy players in particular are like, man, yes, I'm paying all this money for Julio Jones and he's not, you know, touchdowns are the most valuable thing. I think part of it is playing style. I heard someone else say this because I couldn't really put my finger on it, but Julio's he's fast, but he's the type of guy, like, you want him running 18, 20-yard routes and getting the cornerback backpedaling, and then he's able to break it off any which way, and he's spectacular, and you lose some of that in the red zone. So I think part of it is that, and you know, Julio's to blame as well. There's a lot of contested catches and passes where Matt Ryan's put the ball in a pretty good spot, and Julio hasn't come down with it. So I think it's a combination of both. Julio, you know, on paper can do it all. He can make contested catches. He can, you know, run the short, intermediate, and deep route tree. But I do think when things get a little bit tighter, you lose some of what makes Julio special. And I think that's part of why you just don't see some of the high touchdown totals.
You know, Steve, I was already convinced that the Lions were a terribly run organization and that they made a bad hire in coach. But if they waste carries at this point, if they take carries away from DeAndre Swift and give them to freaking Todd Gurley, and yes, it's personal because I have DeAndre Swift in my keeper league and I'm getting very frustrated about this. I mean, what level of stupidity would that be?
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to get out of Todd Gurley. I'm trying to – it's positive season. It's positivity season, you know. We've got mini camps and everybody's excited, OTAs, everybody's excited, and every team's going to be good. So I'm going to try to stay positive, even about the Lions, with everything they've done this offseason. But, yeah, I think we have a pretty good idea that Todd Gurley has been very much a product of what was around him and McVay and the offensive line. And we've seen – Gurley's just – he's the guy that just sums up our take about running backs being interchangeable at PFF, right? When the wind's blowing, it's the sailboat, right? If the wind's blowing, the sailboat goes. If there's no wind, it's not going. And that, I think, sums up running backs really well. Todd Gurley has really showed that.
Steve, in Green Bay, if they decide to, for some unknown reason, to go with Jordan Love this season and put the pressure on Rodgers, excuse me, if I can spit it out, how bad is that offense going to be with Jordan Love?
Oh, man, I don't know what to expect from Love. I mean, I don't know if he's been secretly falling behind the scenes. He didn't really practice a whole lot last year. He was never on the roster. So it's tough to say. It's one of those things where, again, when you look on paper, the Packers offense doesn't look awesome until it's like, well, if Aaron Rodgers plays at a level that he did last year, then it's fine. And, of course, Devontae Adams is a cheat code, but part of that is the connection with Aaron Rodgers. They are just so in sync. And then you look at guys like Alan Lazard as a number two wide receiver. Doesn't sound exciting, but, man, he had a good connection with Aaron Rodgers as well. Robert Tonyan, same thing, right? So it's not one of those groups of playmakers where an average quarterback is going to get elevated, but clearly they worked well with Rodgers. So I think it's a huge question mark if it's Jordan Love under center for the Packers. The offensive line should be solid again, a little question at right tackle, but, yeah, it's not one of the better offenses in the league unless Rodgers is at the helm.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, let's get back to the Browns here. Obviously, we talked about Baker Mayfield. Yesterday, we were having a conversation who is the most valuable or who is the Browns player they can least afford to lose? Now, I know you're going to disagree with us because and you know, usually I'm anti-running back to some degree, too, but I'm obsessed with Nick Chubb, so he doesn't fit for me. We both picked Nick Chubb, but I'm guessing you won't. Who to you, besides Baker, is the Browns guy they can least afford to lose?
Oh, man. I would go – yeah, I'm definitely not going to say Nick Chubb. And I love Nick Chubb, too. He's awesome. But I wouldn't say him as far as most valuable to lose. I mean, I'd go Denzel Ward again, even with all the depth that they have added there. I think with the second – the reason why the Browns gave up so much through the air last year is because when you have injuries and everybody gets pushed up the depth chart and is asked to do more, you lose that advantage. The advantage the Browns have is the depth that they've built in the secondary. And, you know, being able to choose between maybe Greg Newsome and Greedy Williams to play opposite Denzel Ward and having Troy Hill there. If you lose that depth, though, you know, everybody's got to do a little bit more. So I think it's Denzel Ward. I always look at the secondary as you know, a huge impact position. You know, a year ago I would have said OBJ, but clearly that would have been wrong as well.
Hey, let me ask you about the Pittsburgh defense or offense for a minute, just quickly. Matt Canada takes over for that group there, and Big Ben was talking about it this week, and he says the offense is going to be totally different, new terminology. How different do you expect the Pittsburgh offense to be?
Canada, he uses a ton of jet sweep motion and a lot of stuff that, honestly, Big Ben hasn't liked throughout his career. And if he can run more play, if they run more play action and they do try to keep defenses off balance, it could look really different. And they kind of need to do that. The offensive line needs to be protected. They lose some really solid offensive linemen. It's a huge question mark. And the one way you protect your offensive line is schematically. It's with motion. It's with misdirection. It's with play action. And I think Matt Canada brings that to the table. So I do expect it to look different. And I think their best bet is a little bit of that and a little bit of just letting Big Ben throw the ball down the field, as ugly as it was last year, letting Chase Claypool make plays and Deontay Johnson. They've got some decent playmakers. It's not going to be a Najee Harris run offense. They might try to make it. I mean, again, that's not going to be the thing that moves the needle, but I think it's all that eye candy and motion and movement and stuff that if they add that to the mix, the Steelers do have a chance to maybe overcome some of their personnel deficits on the offensive line.
We made the picks for the Steelers as well, the player they could least afford to lose. And you're probably much more likely to agree with us on this one. We picked Minka Fitzpatrick. What do you think of that?
I think he's a good one. I might go offensive side of the ball. I don't know if I'm blinded by a few of the plays Chase Claypool made last year, but yeah. I think he's the key to their success. I think if they're going to have a good season, they can't have Big Ben just dinking and dunking up and down the field again. I think they have to create chunk plays, and I think Claypool is the key to that. And they have to feature him, and they just got to take shots with him. And if he's not there, then they have a whole bunch of short and intermediate threats, and it looks like last year's offense that eventually got stale. So I'm going to go with Claypool on the offensive side.
For the Bengals, I went a little wild here. I don't know if you think I'm nuts. I actually said Jackson Carmen.
Well, it depends on how good he is, to be honest. I mean, look, he's the most – he'll be like the most scrutinized second-round rookie offensive lineman in history.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here in Cincinnati where I live, it's like, we want Penei Sewell, and then half the people wanted Jamar Chase. So this was like the next guy that they got after Jamar Chase. So, yeah, I think Carmen, he's important. He's key. I mean, that entire offensive line on the interior is key. But I think Carmen's development will be fascinating. I think it's probably Jamar Chase because I think he's the guy that makes things happen and why they drafted him. If they didn't have him, it's another pedestrian offense.
Quarterback, running back, wide receiver combo. Bengals top five in the league over the next 5 years?
Oh, yeah. I think you could say that if Mixon sticks around there. It's a really good group. I can't wait to see Burrow and Chase work together again, too. They had such good chemistry in that 1 year at LSU. So I think, you know, that was a big selling point, I think, too, for the Bengals taking Chase at five instead of Penei Sewell, yeah.
What is the – when you look at the Browns defense, obviously they've significantly upgraded the secondary. They add – Anthony Walker and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa at linebacker. What would be your biggest concern? I mean, is it defensive tackle? Is it still linebacker? What's your biggest concern on the defense still?
I think it's still linebacker because you don't really know. I mean, Owusu-Koramoa, you just look at last year, like Isaiah Simmons, who was great, had a target on his back as soon as he stepped on the field, and Kyle Shanahan made him look silly. So Isaiah Simmons has great potential. could be a fantastic player, but linebacker is such a difficult position to play in today's NFL. It's just everything that offensive coaches are dreaming up right now during the offseason is essentially to make linebackers and safeties look miserable or make their life miserable once they get on the field. So I think linebacker and just not having that coverage flexibility across the board, I think it got better, but there's still it's just a question mark until you actually see those guys on the field, I'd say.
All right, most important question of the day, Steve. I'm going to give you four choices. You tell me which is the most annoying. You ready?
Yes.
Most annoying: Johnny Manziel, Cliff Kingsbury, Bill Belichick, or Tim Tebow fans. Not Tim Tebow, but Tim Tebow fans. Go ahead.
Oh, man, it's probably Tebow fans. Definitely not Bill. I'm from New England, so it's definitely not Bill Belichick.
Okay.
It's Tebow fans, because I feel like every time I criticize Tebow, and I love him as a guy, I have to preface it like that.
You shouldn't have to.
You have to say he's a great guy, but, you know, and I think Tebow fan, and I'm a Florida fan too, by the way, full disclosure. I'm a Florida fan, but I'm also just like a realistic guy. Like Tim Tebow was never a good NFL quarterback. He never really had the skills to be a good NFL quarterback. He certainly doesn't look like a good NFL tight end. But people will tell you he's going to the Hall of Fame at all three positions. So the other position being outfielder.
And at baseball. Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Great stuff as always, Steve. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining
us. Of course. Yep. Thank you, guys.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.